Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Rebecca Martin, city editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks.
So, Rebecca, for most folks out there, they may have no idea what a city editor does. So, for them, explain what you do every day.
Well, it depends on the day how well I know what I do, because it can change with the news. But generally what I do is work with our news reporting staff on what they're covering on any given day, longer term projects that they might be working on just to cover the news in Jefferson City and Mid-Missouri.
All right. Fair enough. So at this time of year, one of the topics of stories has got to be 2020 is the year of the election. I think we've dubbed it.
So many elections.
Yeah. So we have a series of elections coming this year, which are going to create some very interesting atmospheres in the newsroom. As we try to help voters understand the candidates for whom they're going to be voting. So the first election we have come up is actually Tuesday. It's a presidential primary. So what do we know so far about this presidential primary?
Well, we just got through Super Tuesday, which changed things a lot. We know now, as far as Democratic presidential candidates, we're looking at two main candidates instead of 5 to 10, which, you know, we rely on the Associated Press for our national news coverage, but we definitely are pretty in tune to that as far as simply waiting for results to put them on a page to get our daily newspaper out. And like you said, next Tuesday is Missouri's presidential primary, so we'll be very in tune to what people here are going to the polls for, whether there's a certain candidate that motivates them, whether having the field of candidates on the Democratic side be so large and just having now narrowed, whether that's going to change how they've made their decisions or when they've made their decisions. It really will be kind of interesting because most presidential elections, at least in recent memory, Missouri's primary isn't necessarily that big of a player because so much is usually decided by Super Tuesday. But between Sanders and Biden, it's still
a wide open race.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where Missouri goes.
Yeah, all right. So by contrast, April 7th, the next election down the road is going to be a all local election. We will be actually be the ones going to the clerk's office, gathering the vote totals, mm-hmm. and on election night. But gearing up towards that election, how kind of lay out for our viewers how we are trying to approach that election that's geared more for municipal elections, school board races.
Yeah, like I said, when we're covering national elections, the Associated Press is kind of our expert or the standard on news coverage. We obviously try to be that for Jefferson City and Mid-Missouri elections. And we have a couple of contested races here locally, not as many as in some April municipal elections, but we do have one Jefferson City Council ward that has a three-way race because the incumbent has termed out. So it's a pretty wide open field as far as who might represent Ward 2. And we also have one school board race locally that is contested. And even the ones that aren't contested, you still have new people coming in or incumbents who are going to stay there that we want to know what their views are. So we're still trying to inform people about that as well. So as far as the city council goes, since that's the first one I mentioned, we try to do some interviews with the candidates ahead of time, kind of getting just a sense of their views on certain issues, their vision for the city, their vision for the people they're representing. We try to put a lot of that coverage on Sundays, not that we wouldn't cover it any time it's being discussed in a daily newspaper, but Sunday is our widest reach edition, and so that's where people kind of get used to seeing those types of stories. We actually have one in the works for this coming Sunday for those Ward 2 council candidates.
One thing we're also excited, jump in there, we've also expanded, recognizing that using the council as an example, there are some uncontested races as well. But we, for this coming edition, this Sunday edition, we'll also be talking with the uncontested candidates, asking their views on some of the bigger topics that the city has faced and may face in the future.
Right. Yeah, because you want to know the views of the person who's going to represent you, even if there's not anyone officially running against them. It's still helpful to know how they stand on issues. Like you mentioned, there's one, I believe it's Ward 1, where Hank Vogt has come in, and he doesn't have an official opposition. I guess there could be a write-in candidate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It would seem that he's probably going to be elected, but since he's brand new to a lot of people he's representing, we definitely want to get a sense of where he stands on the issues facing the city. And same for the incumbents. They've been through this election cycle at least once, but, you know, things have changed in the last couple of years on several issues, and so it's a good chance to kind of check in with them and make sure that the people voting for them or the people are being represented by them still understand where they are.
Right, right. So you mentioned a school board race that's in the area, but actually there are more than one. I think there are a couple other school board races. So let's kind of go back on that, and let's talk a little bit more about what school board races are out there.
Sure. So usually our first focus is the Jefferson City School District Board of Education. We do have an election, but it's not quite as dramatic as maybe in previous years because we have three candidates running for three open seats. Two of them are incumbents. One is a new candidate.
Okay.
We definitely will be reaching out to those candidates, but there's a bit of an assumption in the community, perhaps, that those three candidates will be elected.
Right.
Within our main coverage area, though, we do have a contested school board race in the Blair Oaks District.
Okay.
We have four candidates running for three seats.
Okay.
So we absolutely will be reaching out to those candidates, trying to get a sense of their views on issues facing that school district. Mm-hmm. We also will plan to host a public candidate forum.
Okay.
So that people can see those candidates in person, meet them, watch them answer some questions that we ask them live. And we'll host that later in March. We're still solidifying the date so we can make sure everyone will be there.
Right.
But it will be hosted in Wardsville on the Blair Oaks campus. So it's on their turf, very accessible to people who care about that board and what happens in that school district. And while we can't host forums for every single race in our coverage area, because we do cover a lot of areas in mid-Missouri, we also are tracking the school board elections for the Russellville and Eugene districts.
Okay.
And those are both contested. Quite a few candidates in those. There's a lot of interest there.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that's been interesting to me personally in the last, I'd say, 5 years or so is there's an acknowledgement on our part that we don't necessarily have the corner on questions for candidates. And so maybe talk a little bit more about how we solicit. We call it a reader call out, asking readers to submit questions to candidates.
Yes, I love the reader call-outs because we talk in the newsroom all the time about how we feel like we're always asking the same questions or different variations of the same questions on the same issues because things are progressive.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to talk about the same things as they move along, sometimes slowly, but often there are things that are out there people are talking about or wondering about and not talking about that we would love to talk with candidates about and answer those questions. That's what our job is to inform our community about the things they want or need to know. And it's a lot easier to do that if they tell us what they want to know.
Sure.
So, you know, we reach out in a lot of different ways. Like I said, when we have these Sunday pieces about elections and candidates, we always include a sidebar or a box next to those stories saying, do you have questions? And listing ways to tell us about those. Probably one of the quickest is to just shoot an email to vote@newstribune.com. We'll definitely get it that way. We're always open to phone calls and emails directly to reporters, things like that, or, you know, when we're at a city council meeting, just catch us.
Well, and I would jump in there. I think one of the things, too, that with that email, it's a genuine question that's asked by someone from the public.
And the other thing about those questions is that you know, as we ask them, pose them to the candidates, we might have them treated as a Q&A and just print their answers in a future edition. We might use it to feed into a larger story for a future edition, or we might use it in our live public candidate forums. We actually have that one planned for the city council race next Wednesday, March 11th. It'll be 6 o'clock at City Hall on East McCarty Street in the council chambers. And, you know, we come up with a variety of questions to have the candidates answer live for people. And that's a great opportunity for people to submit their questions.
Yeah. I think there, before we jump over to the forums, I want to circle back on the reader call out. And explain that one of the things we do is once we get those questions, we do send them to the candidates, give them a word limit as to, so it's not a long, protracted answer, but then ask them, give them an opportunity to really form their response in an email and send it back in. Those aren't live interviews or live questions that they have to field, unlike the forum. So let's talk about the forum a bit, the whole setup as to how it works, and go from there.
Yeah, and like you said, the forum and answering questions for a print newspaper, those are very different things to ask of a candidate. And we try to have them share their views in a lot of different ways because people digest information in a lot of different ways. I wouldn't expect every voter in Jefferson City to read every single article that we write about a candidate and an election and go to the forum and submit questions and write letters to the editor about it. We don't all do all of those things. We like the few people who do. They're great.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there are a lot of different ways to engage with community life, and we try to hit all of those ways for people who might find certain ones more convenient or helpful. So the forum works well for people who maybe want to see a face, maybe talk to a person face-to-face, or at least see that person have to think on their feet a little bit and know that they have thought about these issues and that they're familiar with the subject, because we don't share the questions ahead of time with the candidates. They're not difficult questions, typically. They should be things someone seeking a public office is aware of.
Right.
But it's very different to answer something that you didn't know was coming versus seeing in an email, something that you have a chance to really think over.
Right. So for the forum, the date again is?
It is Wednesday, March 11th.
And it's at what time?
6 o'clock.
And it's at City Hall Chambers. But you can also watch it on JCTV, as well as we'll live stream it at newstribune.com.
Yes.
All right. So that heads into the election then on April 7th. So unlike the presidential primary, like we talked about, we will actually be at the polls that night as the votes start coming in. Mm-hmm. So kind of give viewers or listeners a snapshot of what the newsroom's like on election day. Starts rather early.
Yes. Like we mentioned with the presidential primary, and probably more so with the municipal election, we send our reporters out to polling locations across the city to talk to people, you know, maybe after they've finished voting or as they're headed in. Not necessarily to ask them, who did you vote for, but to ask what motivated you to come today, because we never have 100% voter turnout. I think 30% was the prediction for the presidential primary, and that's pretty high.
Yes.
So what actually got you to drive out to your polling location, and what did you care about? We include a lot of that just to give better local context of what this means for people, rather than just saying this is who won and this is who lost. So that's kind of what we're doing throughout the day. And then, you know, it's kind of a waiting game at that point for us. Election days, there's a different kind of sense of urgency in the newsroom that you can't really do much with until the polls close around 7.
Right. I think
they close at 7.
Yes. A bunch of hurry up and wait.
So, you know, as you would well know, the urgency takes a little pause around 6 o'clock when the pizza gets here.
Pizza.
Because we have to feed the reporters. The reporters are there late at night.
Yeah.
There's usually election night pizza.
Usually, yeah. Is that a tradition? So what sort of pizza do you prefer?
Well, we actually have a Word document on our server in the newsroom called Pizza List. Newsroom nice. Pizza List,
yeah.
I think. So, you know, we try to take care of everyone.
Yeah.
I usually request that there be a vegetable because then vegetable. We can all feel better about it.
Yeah. Yes, I feel much better after eating election night pizza. So, but then at that point, the polls close, the clerk and their staffs are counting. We typically will call the candidates, those who've won and lost, I assume.
Yeah, we usually will get kind of little by little updates on precinct reporting. We'll first get the results from the absentee votes. Obviously, they've had a chance to count those beforehand. And we'll, you know, depending how quickly those results come in, if it's a little slower, we'll do online updates as we get them. Some elections where there aren't that many things to count, we might get a result pretty quickly.
So I understand then there are a couple elections later in the year as well, August and November. There's a few elections there. So kind of walk through how we cover those elections. I mean, obviously, if we're not covering the presidential primary, we're probably not covering the general election for November. But state offices, for instance, I mean, we're here in the capital city. It provides some unique opportunities when you're also looking at state house positions as well as county government positions. How do we determine what we're covering?
Well, and you hit on county. That's actually a really big one for us in August because it's a primary election, but historically so many of our Cole County government races are decided at the primary because it's true so far in this election season too that no Democratic candidates have filed for county offices yet. They still can. Filing's still open till March 31st, but as of right now, we have several contested races, but they're all Republicans. So theoretically, many of those county offices will be more or less decided in August. So that's a full-blown election night for us. Those county government offices mean a lot locally.
Right.
And you mentioned state elections as well. We will have primary elections that some combination of our reporting staff and the Associated Press will cover those primary elections for governor, lieutenant governor, other statewide elected officials, but we also have our local District 59 and District 60 state representatives who, as of yet, I don't believe that the incumbents are facing any opponents, but that could change.
Sure. And traditionally, much like with the municipal elections, we will be talking as it gets closer to that date for forums where almost assuredly we will have some sort of county government forum where the candidates can come in. And then just depending upon our resources as well as how many races there are, we may have state legislative races or other things to host forums about. So, all right. So it's going to be a busy year is what I'm hearing.
It already has been.
Yeah.
But it will get busier and busier.
Thank you for that. But I want to remind readers, when it comes to submitting questions or suggestions about elections, send an email to vote@newstribune.com. So, Rebecca, thank you for joining us today on News Tribune on Tap.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. From time to time, we'll have outtakes and bloopers to share. Here's some from today's show. So I really feel like we didn't talk enough about food on election night. So one of the debates that I've seen on social media with my friends in the business is what the best election night food would be, okay? So
are there options?
There are options. One fellow, he had a paper down in southern Missouri. It was chili. He brought in chili for election night.
There's only election night pizza.
Rebecca, you need to expand your mind here a bit here. So if let's say our favorite pizzeria was out of business that day, what kind of food would really set the tone for this election?
Other pizza.
Other pizza. All right. With a vegetable, right?
With a vegetable, yeah. Because then we can all feel like we've done something good.
Yeah.
And that sets us up to cover the election well.
All right.
Reporters expect pizza.
I think there might be a mutiny if there's not pizza.
Mm-hmm.
News Tribune on Tap is produced by the staff of the Jefferson City News Tribune, with engagement editor Nicole Roberts handling production and technical duties. You can find this podcast at newstribune.com/NT-on-tap. Thanks for listening.